enough to tempt your palate, and they make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Chef and the Fat Man, Chef and the Fat Man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Welcome back, my friend, Chef and the Fat Man, live from the Mexico Beach Gumbo Cook-Off. It's the 18th annual. We have a special guest we're going to bring on in the next segment. She's a gal that kind of put this whole thing, really got it off the ground. But Chef Eric, when we left our audience last night, it was almost midnight. We had taken painstaking time on the roux.
Absolutely. And now we're starting adding the seafood in. We're about a half hour before judging. And so I started with oysters and the liquor from the oysters. And
is that Louis Trez?
No. And then I've got a couple of pounds of scallops, about 3 pounds of scallops in there. Then in about 10 minutes, we'll put in shrimp and finally the crab meat at the very end. We want the crab meat not to get all broken down because it will basically disappear in there. So in order to preserve that, we have to put it in pretty much almost at the last minute.
So it's a beautiful day today. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce could not have picked a more beautiful day. It's already warmed up to the 60s. We're right on the Gulf. Right behind us is actually the surf. You might even hear it. A slight breeze, 5 to 8 miles an hour coming in out of the, looks like out of the southeast a little bit. It's absolutely powder blue sky. No clouds except off in the way, way, way off in the west. So it's beautiful. But gumbo, whether you're making gumbo or whether you're making low country boil, it's all about the layers. And it's all about the timing.
Right.
It makes the whole difference.
Yeah. So by adding the oysters early, they'll get a little chance to cook in. You don't want them to be raw in a gumbo. But they're more poaching than anything else because we're not running at a boil here. We're just sort of now at holding at temperature probably around 180 or so, 170 or 180, and we're just going to leave it at that lower temperature so it softly poaches the oysters. And that liquor in there is going to give it that other dimension of flavor that gives it a little bit of brininess and makes it taste like seafood.
But you can't put too much. I've tasted where there's too much liquor in it and it ruins it.
Yeah, I mean, you want about, I would say, let's see, that was about a pint and a half of, so you probably...
Select small oysters.
Yeah. So you probably want somewhere around a third of a cup to have, not quite a half a cup of liquor at most.
Well, this is the critical time because we're a half an hour away from judging. So by the time the judge's plate comes around, we will actually be plating up 3 servings.
Right. We'll plate 3 servings, and actually, you know, that's the important part of this is actually plating matters. But we're still limited to a 2-ounce souffle plastic little cup. So you got to try and be creative about how you make it look appetizing.
Yeah, and of course, that's where your creativity as a chef comes in. You had a great idea, which we will discuss later, but after the judging, we'll mention it. But no, some great ideas. And really, they're right now, to set the stage, we're right off of Highway 98. In fact, we're what, 30 feet, 40 feet from Highway 98 itself?
Maximum.
Yeah, and there's no curb. It's just, you're right on Highway 98, which is the main thoroughfare that runs through Mexico Beach all the way down to Tallahassee, all the way over to Pensacola. It's the most scenic drive on the Gulf, I think. It's one of the most scenic drives because the sand here is absolutely powder sugar white. And when you're looking at it from the road, it'll blind you. You got to wear your shades.
Yeah, and I forgot mine, so.
I didn't.
Yeah, I noticed that. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Yeah. No, but the, I mean, it's just such a gorgeous setting. You look back there and you just sort of want to run out and jump in the ocean, except for all those jellyfish.
Yeah, well, there weren't any, I didn't see a one in the beach this week. But as you look down, they've got 2 massive tents. How long would you say these tents are?
They're about About, 30 feet, 35, maybe 40 at the max.
And you've got, really, you've got 10 competitors. What is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You got 14 to 15 competitors under each tent.
Right.
And you've got two of them. And then you've got on the end closest to Apalachicola, which is the east end, you've got wines, nice wine selection set up that you can acquire. And the other end, which is our end, we're on the western end, three tables over from the end. We've got the all-popular beer tent. And I noticed it was not quite 10 o'clock yet. And you were over there helping. Is that what you're trying to do, or sampling?
I was trying to help or shake some of the beer loose. No, we had to move it out of the way of the fire plug over there. And so there were two or three guys trying to move it, and I felt the one thing I've got is leg strength, so
yes.
put my back into it, and we lifted up the trailer and were able to sort of pivot it out of the way so that the fire department didn't have an issue and shut us down.
Yeah, they've got a beautiful shelter over there, permanent shelter, just behind and to the west of us, and it's a place where they serve, where the women all donate, they bake, and I mean, some of the stuff that comes out of there. Every year I end up spending $20 just bringing the stuff over here so we can sample the different fairs. It's really quite amazing. They're expecting 2,500 people today. Now you figure we're in an area that's about 3/4 of the length of a football field wide and about half a football field wide, 3/4 of a football field long. And you're going to have 3,000 people, 2,500 to 3,000 people in here. If you imagine, if you've ever been to Oktoberfest, they will have 300 cookers, but they'll have 3,000 people sampling.
Right.
But it's spread out over a couple of acres. This is
about 100 times smaller, and it's going to have the same number of people. So it gets a little bit crazy.
Yeah, so at least they took away the third option on the sampling cups. They have a small cup, which they call a tasting cup, and then about a 4-ounce styro for two tickets. I think one is two tickets, the tasting is one. But it's amazing, and people come from all over. We're next to people from Georgia. They come from all over to compete in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, we've got people from Florida, from Georgia, Mississippi, out in Louisiana. So, yeah, it's quite a southern show up here. And it's great to see this event grow over the years.
Oh, we've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really 5 years ago when we first did this. It was a much smaller group of people overall, and now you can see people are bringing game and decorating their tables up, and, of course, ours is decorated fully, as you would expect.
Yes, well, we're not into the artsy part of it. We're more into the gumbo part of it, but we do have our Chef of the Fat Man tablecloth out there, and we do have our table elevated, so we've done a few things to try to bring a little game.
Yeah, well, elevating that table, I appreciate, because as I'm serving all day, your back starts to go numb.
That's why, ergo, I brought them this year and remembered. I said, you know what? I was thinking of you, which is typical of me.
Really?
Always thinking of you.
Really? Is that okay?
Yeah, right. Well, they just happened to be in the car. That's why I know.
Yeah, okay.
That
yeah.
was from our cooking demos in Pinehurst. I left them in the car.
There you go.
But I left them in there for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
But this is really coming up on game time. We got 2 minutes. We're going to be talking to Kimberly Schoaf in a few minutes. Now, Kimberly is not the chairman anymore of the organization that really puts this thing together. But when I talked to the chairman, she said, oh, no, for that, you want to talk to Kimberly Schoaf. She is really a gal. She heads up the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Now, this is a very small little town.
Right.
Yet they have a Convention and Visitors Bureau that is equal to none. You can go in there and actually use their internet. They got computers set up for people to come in if they want to check messages and are down here. They've got everything set up for the community, and they are so helpful. And Kimberly, the very first year, from that year on, we're able to get shirts every year that are in our size.
Well, that is nice. I'm glad that they raided the fabric factory and were able to make a bigger tent for me.
Well, it took all the cotton in Alabama's harvest this year to get us our shirts. But we've got Michael the Whip Holst here. He is doing the engineering. We have just an amazing setup here today. We're really excited. Now it's getting close to crunch time. You're getting ready to layer in some more seafood.
Yep. We've got a minute and a half, so right at the end of the segment, I'll start putting in the shrimp. And at that point, that'll start poaching, and then we'll be
crab meat at the very end.
Maybe the last 5 minutes, just to warm it up and get it And it can break down a little bit in that period of time, and that's fine.
Yeah, but we got some really good claw meat, which really for gumbo is the best.
Yeah, the claw meat is going to fall apart less easily. I think we said that last night. It doesn't come apart like the regular lump does. So the claw meat's the way to go.
We're just minutes away from the judging sample cups coming around. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about celebrating a good life. No place better on earth to be than the 18th annual Gumbo Cook-Off right here in Mexico Beach, Florida. We'll be right back.